Today we're going to continue the series entitled Victory. It's all about the cross. Victory. It's all about the cross. Now, before I continue, our lamp blew out this morning just on time. So we do have copies of this message. If you want one right now, raise your hand and we'll bring you a message. We'll bring you a copy right now. The ushers have them. Amen. And you can follow along. Also, this message will be on the internet. You can download it. It'll be on the internet on Tuesday. So we do apologize for that technical difficulty, but it does speak of the fact that when we're trying to do right, something always going to happen. Amen. 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 But we're not going to stop preaching. We're going to preach all the more. And so if you want a copy, brother, come on up front. I want a couple of folks up here to get them too. And we'll make more copies, so don't worry. We're going to make sure that you have a copy of today's message. Amen. I want my visitors to have one. Thank you, Brother Curtis, up in the front. Hallelujah. Don't forget about this other side of the church over there. Amen. They're saying, where is it? My copy. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. And we'll make more copies. Amen. Don't worry. More copies are on the way. Amen. We'll make more. Amen. Praise God. It's like my mother when she makes chicken. We ran out. That's all right. I'll cook some more. We got plenty of chicken. We're going to cook some more. Don't worry about it. Amen. We got more chicken. What we run out of you? Thighs, breasts, wings. What y'all need? Y'all need some wings. We're going to cook some more. Let me go down and freeze it. We're going to cook some more. We got some more, folks. Our scripture for this series is found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 34, which reads, from the New Century Version, then Jesus called the crowd to him along with his followers. He said, if people want to follow me, they must give up the things they want. They must be willing even to give up their lives to follow me. Amen. Now, this is not the kind of verse that you're going to necessarily shout on once you hear it for the first time. But I guarantee you, if you let us preach this, and if you let the Spirit of God speak to your heart, you will be encouraged. Amen? Amen? You will be encouraged. That much I can guarantee, that the Spirit of God always has a way to take the word. Many times when that word puts upon us a demand that we're not ready for, the Spirit of God will give you the message you need to hear regarding that word. Praise God. Now, in our previous lesson, we defined victory for the believer as the ability to follow Christ on his terms. And those terms consist of two things. Number one, giving up the things we want, and the willingness to lay down our lives for him. But what are the things we want? And why does Jesus ask us to give them up in the first place? Well, the things we want is any motivation, any desire, any word, thought, or deed that will distract us from following Christ. Those are the things Jesus is talking about. Don't open your Bible and look for something where it says, don't do this, don't do that, don't smoke, don't drink. It's not just that. Don't limit it to that. Anything we want is anything that will get in the way of our commitment to Christ. And that could be anything. It could even be the church. The church can get in your way. Amen. You get caught up so much in what the church is doing, you forget about what God is doing. Amen. Well, you got to give that up. Amen. Any thought, any commitment that isn't in Christ, he wants you to reevaluate it and put him on the throne of your life. Amen. Well, why does he ask us to give these things up? Well, two reasons. Number one, to demonstrate our commitment, to make sure that we're genuine, that our lifestyle matches our profession, that we're not just in church shouting something and living nothing. Amen? And number two, to set us free, because those things that we want don't want us. How many of you know that sin, you might like sin, but sin don't like you? Amen. Well, I know you'll find out in a minute. You'll find out in a minute. Some of y'all say, well, sin do kind of like me. Honey, sin don't like you. Sin can't stand you. Sin can't stand you. Sin wants to kill you. You need to understand that this morning. And Jesus is not asking you to do something that he's not going to give you the power to do. Amen? And so this morning, what we want to learn is this. Number one, Why is it that we love sin so much? Because we do love it. Amen. And let me preach to me and to you today. Amen. Why do we love sin so much? And how do we let it go? And I'm going to preface it by saying this. Some of y'all have been in churches and you've been watching TV church in which you have been promised an instant victory or an instant answer or an instant solution, but you didn't get one, did you? Victory is a lifelong process. And if you don't understand that, you will become discouraged and disillusioned. Victory is not something where you come up to Blessed Hope, I put oil on your head, and you don't ever do what you used to do. That's not victory. That's foolishness. Victory is a marathon, not a 100-yard dash. And it's got a lot of hurdles. A lot of hurdles. And a lot of pitfalls. Amen? And you need to understand something about dealing with sin in your life. You will fight the battle till the day you die. You'll fight the battle till the day you die. Some days you will slap Satan upside his head. Sometimes sin will slap you upside yours. Well, Pastor, maybe I'm at the wrong church. No, you're at the right church, but you have the wrong mindset. Our goal is to help you to understand that as long as you're fighting, it's okay to fall. As long as you're fighting. I want to make sure I get this straight. I don't need you to come in here and say, Pastor, say it's all right to go out to the club. I didn't say that. I said, as long as you fight. As long as you fight. Amen. You got your boxing gloves on and you in the ring and you fighting those alligators or whatever's coming in your path. As long as you fighting, you all right. It's when you step out of the ring and go and do something stupid. That's when you're not all right. Amen. And y'all know exactly what I don't have to expound on that, do I? Hallelujah. Our lesson this morning is to not give up on living for God just because it's hard. Just because we struggle. Just because every now and then we have a setback. You just don't say, well, I thought this was going to be easy. Honey, living for sin ain't easy. It offers easiness, and I'll get into that in a minute. But I want you to know something. Living for God is the best life you can live today. There is no life better than the Christian life. And I've been living it long enough to know for sure. There's no life better to live than the Christian life. But we struggle, don't we? If you're struggling today, say, I'm struggling. Amen. Today we want to find out why you're struggling. Why does the pastor struggle? Why does the deacon struggle? Why does the elder struggle? Amen? We want to find out why the praise team struggles, why everybody struggles. And to do so, we need to understand the nature of sin. Sometimes we have an enemy and we don't know how our enemy works. We don't even know when he's throwing a left jab or a right hook. And trust me, those are two different punches. Those of you who know anything about boxing. And so we need to understand the nature of sin because we're born with it. Let me say that again. We need to understand the nature of sin because we're born with it. And there are three things that will help you understand the nature of sin. It's in your handouts. Number one, there is the path of sin. There is the promise of sin, and then there is the price of sin. There is the path of sin, P-A-T-H, the pathway, the walkway of sin, the promise of sin, and the price of sin. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. The gate is wide and the road is wide that leads to hell. And many people enter through that gate. But the gate is small and the road is narrow that leads to true life. Only a few people find that road. The reason why we love sin so much is because the path of sin is easy. The path of sin is easy. It is easy to get into sin. Let me say amen to myself. It is easy to get into sin. All you need is a cell phone, a remote control, a mouse and a laptop. You don't need a whole lot to get yourself into some trouble. Amen. All you need to do is go by and get gas and realize they sell liquor in the gas station. It's easy to get into trouble. If you want sin, you ain't got to work hard to get into sin. The path is wide. The road is broad. And it's easy to find that road. And we're attracted to sin because it excites the senses. God made us with five senses: taste, touch, hear, smell, and sight. And sin exploits this aspect of our human nature by offering choices that excite the senses. Sin is not interested in where you are spiritually. Sin is interested in getting your members, as the Bible calls it. The members are your flesh, your body, to do some things that are perverted and distorted and wrong in the sight of God. That's the goal of sin. The goal of sin is to say, let's have some fun. And I ain't talking about no spiritual praise fun either. I'm talking about some more kind of fun. Real fun, not no church fun. Forget that. That's what sin says, and it appeals to our flesh. Sin also appeals to the lazy side of our humanness. Sin tells the student not to study, the employee to call in sick, the athlete to skip practice. It tells the thief they can have whatever they want without having to work for it. That's what sin says. And all you have to do is obey sin. In fact, sin tried to tell Jesus, you want to save the world? Now God's plan, let me have a talk with you, Jesus. This is what sin is telling Jesus. God's plan is really a messed up plan. He wants you to get beaten. He wants you to take stripes and get nailed to a cross. Tell you what, I got a better plan. Bow to me. I'll give you the world. You can do what you want with it. You want to save it? Just bow down to me. And if you want to save it, go save it then. Go ahead and save it. Sin will always tell you, don't study so hard. Sin will say to a student, that won't be on the test. And guess what? The first problem that you did not study for is on the test. Got your review packet. Can I talk to my young people and my college students and college students? Witness for me if you've seen a professor do this. Our test will cover Unit 5, chapters 12 through 16, and then the first test is over chapter 8, the first question. And you go, well, where is this? Oh, yeah, that's right. I just threw that in. That's sin. Sin will throw stuff in at you. Amen? That's what sin does. And sin even tried to tempt Jesus from doing what God had called him to do. And sin will tempt you from doing what God has called all of us and all of you to do. Sin appeals to the rebellious side of us. Sin hates rules. Sin can't stand rules. And it hates rules because rules demand obedience. And sin tricks us by telling us that rules are a form of bondage. Man, you don't go to Blessed Hope. I hear they got a constitution and they got a this. We got rules, honey. Your job has rules. Your family should have some rules. Should have. Your marriage better have some rules. Amen. Rule one, wife says, I love you. What's the rule? Say it back. Mama say, honey, and I love you. Guess what? Don't you hang up. Don't you go, uh-huh. Or me too. Me too. That don't mean nothing to a woman. And I love you. I love you too. I love you. That's a rule. Sin don't like no rules now. Sin doesn't like rules. Sin calls marriage a ball and chain. It tells children that their parents are taskmasters and they need to be free of them, especially as you get older and more independent in your thinking. I can't wait to leave them not knowing there are little bills. One's blue called Laclede. The other one's green called Amarin. You know, but see, you don't see those. You want some electricity? Where's the light switch? You want food? Where's the fridge? You want gas? Mama, I need your debit card. I need to fill up the tank. You don't need nothing, but you want to get away from the taskmaster. You want to get out of Pharaoh's house. You like Moses, let my people go. And you ain't got no money, but you want to get out there on the street and play and be free of Pharaoh. Pharaoh's the one out in the street. Man, if I was a young person, I'd stay at home as long as my mama let me. I'm just saying. I gotta get out. Get out then. You'll see. Hate them rules. Even Christians hate rules. You got Christians who hate rules. They find them restricting. Rules cramp their style. And yet, we exist because of rules. We live by rules. Amen. The blood that flows through your veins does so by the rules that govern the circulatory system. The ability to feel and see is based on rules governed by the central nervous system. The ability to breathe is based on the rules that govern the respiratory system. So how can you have a problem with rules if rules is what's keeping you alive? You breathe in and out, in and out. Yeah, but I'm not doing the breathing. But there's a rule that your heart follows. And if that rule gets violated, we'll be doing your home going. Since you like to break the rules. And there's this idea behind rules, rules, they're so restraining, they're so confining. And that's what sin does. Sin takes rules and says, break all the rules. But honey, rules will keep a roof over your head when it's raining. Rules will help you keep that job that was so hard for you to get. Rules will keep your marriage from going in divorce. Rules will keep you in school. Rules will keep you on the job. Rules will help you and rules will prosper you. Before you want to kick rules upside the head, you better make sure you understand the role of rules. Because sin wants to tell you, break all the rules. Before you even find out what the value of rules are. And let me say this, Christianity has rules. But sin has rules too. So if you're trying to get away with the rules, everybody got rules, honey. You're just trying to figure out who you need to follow. Sin always offers us an easier way, even to live for God. It tells us to put down the cross and live it up. Time is too short. You only go around once. One beer commercial once said, get all the gusto you can get. I don't even know what gusto is, but somehow I need to be about trying to get it. That's what sin says. But there's one problem with what sin is telling you. Everything that sin says to you is a lie. It's easy methods, its path, which is wide and broad and easy to find, it's filled with deception. It's filled with deceit. It's filled with loss. Which leads us to the second point, the promise of sin. Sin promises much, but delivers little. Let me say it again. Sin promises much, but delivers little. Sin brings with it the promise of power and pleasure. When Satan approached Eve in the Garden of Eden and tempted her to disobey God, he promised her, listen to me, that if she ate of the forbidden fruit, she would be like God. In fact, when Satan tempted Eve and Eve said to him, we cannot even touch the fruit of the garden. That's what Adam had relayed that message to her. I guarantee you her husband told her that. Amen. When Eve said, what about this, Adam? Adam said, honey, don't touch it. Don't even look at it. And that's what she conveyed to the devil. Not only can we not eat of the fruit of the garden, we better not touch it. It's like that husband who goes to the mall with his wife and she's looking at that beautiful dress and her husband says, don't even look at it. Don't look at it. Well, there's nothing wrong with looking at it. Amen. Don't be mad because she's looking at it. Don't look at it. And see, you govern your marriage like that. You go home one day and in the closet, it's going to be sitting right there. Amen. She going to buy that dress. Let me say it again. She going to buy that dress. Eve did not understand why she couldn't do what she was directed to do, not knowing that the reason was to keep her alive. So Satan gave her a reason and said, listen, you know why God told you not to eat of that fruit? And listen to me, young people especially, but some older folk as well, regrettably, but especially young people. This is the message that Satan has been giving since the days of creation. Satan said to Eve, and young people, please read Genesis 3, 1 through 6 in a modern translation Bible. Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Satan says to Eve, the reason God does not want you to eat of that fruit because he's afraid of you. He don't want you to be like him. He knows that once you eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll be like him. And he don't want to have to compete against you. He's afraid. And let me translate that message and make it contemporaneous in today's language. This is what he says to the young people. The reason why that pastor at Blessed Hope keeps telling you to wait until marriage is because he doesn't want you to have no fun. That's the same message in Genesis. Oh, y'all don't like that. I gotta soften it up. I gotta go Sunday school on you. Okay. I mean, give me a break. And everything that comes out of the pulpit, which puts some type of restraint on you, Satan uses that restraint to show you that it's really the pastor who's trying to make your life miserable. That's why the church is all crusty and old and out of touch and irrelevant and impudent and outdated and totally irrelevant to what's going on in my life. Honey, it's not the church that's messed up, it's you. You just aren't old enough to know it yet. But let 40 hit you upside the head. You look back and you go, oh, that's what I was supposed to be doing. And I see it now. And I got some 40-somethings in there who could lift up their hands and say, Pastor, you got me. Okay, bam, got you. Listen, I'm trying to keep you from having that experience. That's all I'm trying to do. Sin promised you power. You should be like your mama and daddy, so act like them. And do what they do. That's the same message. And it uses that message over and over and over again. You know the thing about sin that makes it so powerful? It preaches the same sermon every time and still gets new converts. Same message. Don't you want to be like so-and-so? Don't you want to have this? Don't you want to have that? Who is your parents to be telling you how to live your life? That's sin. And God is nowhere near that. I bet your parents weren't all that great when they were doing such and such. I bet. See, sin is real tricky. Well, don't you want to live better than your parents? I mean, since you can't stand them, why do you want to be like them? Yeah, if sin says, I bet your parents was this, and I bet, well, I don't want to be like my parents. I can't stand them now. That should be a key to you saying, nope, don't want that. If my mama was like that, my daddy was like that, oh, no, when were my Bible? That's all the more of a motivation. Amen. You don't want to do that. You think you do, but sin is tricky. And it promises power, but delivers shame. That's what it delivers. The other thing that sin does, it promises pleasure. Sin promises pleasure, folks. And listen to me. Let me be very clear before I continue. I need to talk to y'all, and I mean talk, not preach. I want to just say something before I go into this next point. I am not here to judge you for the way you live your life. I want to be very careful with that. Nor did I write this sermon with the intent of making someone feel ashamed. Because all of us got some sin in our life. So I don't care what you brought in this church. Let me be very careful here because I'm going to preach another part here. And some of you might get the impression that I've been living with you the past few years and I haven't. No, I'm serious. I'm going to go somewhere and I need to prepare you to understand. I'm not talking to you as if I live with you. It's just a sermon, folks. And if it works that way on you, let it do its job. But know that Pastor Forrest wasn't writing and going, ooh, I bet so-and-so is going to really feel this. I don't think like that even. Because the first person it hits is me. So as I preach this, don't judge the sermon. Because the sermon is not trying to judge you. It's trying to teach you. It's trying to instruct you. Judgment is of God. Amen. And I don't care what you brought in here. I love you. That's why I'm preaching it. Out of love. Not out of spite. Not out of a sense of, I told you so. I don't have that spirit. You fall, reach for me, I'll reach for you. But you still have to reach. I ain't gonna pick you up. Reach. I'll preach that another Sunday. I'll preach that enough. I'm not going to pick you up. You got to reach for me. Amen? All right. try to get this in your spirit. God made us in his image. And I'm going to go somewhere. Follow carefully. Our bodies are designed to experience pleasure. But pleasure on his terms. I want to be very careful here. God designed our bodies to experience pleasure, but that pleasure is to be experienced on his terms. But and you say, Pastor, why are you telling me that? Because you're fighting something that's based on your design. You're saying, why do I have these cravings? He made you to have them. Yeah. And before you start making excuses saying, well, I do it because I was made to do it. Honey, that's sin. I'm going to show you how to work this. You were made to have certain basic appetites. Food and clothing and shelter. Amen. Affection and love and relationships. You were made for that. God made you to enjoy and experience pleasure. But it's got to be done on his terms. And sin has come in and has perverted the view of pleasure, and we see it manifested in our daily lives. Let me give you some examples. We eat too much and exercise too little. We can watch TV for 4 hours and only read the Bible for 15 minutes. We would rather go party than go to the library and prepare for an exam. We love pleasure because we're built that way. And the reason we struggle with the things we want and giving them up is because we get joy out of it. And it's that reality that you need to understand. You need to know that one thing about sin that's true is that you will enjoy it for the time that you're in it. I'm not going to take that from sin. Sin markets itself better. Doesn't it? Than the church. Sin knows how to advertise. Yes, it does. It knows how to reach an audience, doesn't it? 6.5 billion people. It knows how to reach everybody. It has taken out preachers of mega churches. I mean, just wipe them out. Put them on the streets. Talking about sin. So we don't play with sin. We don't go, oh man, I had so much fun in church. I'm going to go out and I'm going to step all over the devil. Hey, before you go there, I want to introduce you to a couple of people who thought they could do it too. One is named Samson. He could whoop anybody but himself. There's another one by the name of Solomon. He had a problem too. Then there was King David who beat Goliath, but he couldn't beat himself. Y'all see where I'm going with this? Sin is not a game that you can play, hit the reset button and play some more. Sin is not like that, my friend. And if you're not careful and walking with God, it will take you out. The reason you love it, the reason I love it, because it's fun, because it offers us this temporary joy. That's why we love it. That's why it's hard to give it up. That's why when Jesus says, give up the things you want, you say, we know why, because means I like this. Doctor tells you to give up fried chicken. Doctor says you're going to have diabetes. So doctor tells you, you need to give up smoking. You've got emphysema. It can produce lung cancer and you can't stop. Folks who make cigarettes, put a warning label on the package. Hey, by the way, before you open this package, read this. Just in case you're smoking, this can be hazardous to your health. And we ain't going to say it's lung cancer, but we'll just call it hazardous. I mean, you get the warning post. Hey, you know what? If you do this, this could happen to you. How many of you have done something stupid and knew that it was stupid before you did it? And you did it anyway. You did it like this. Man, I know this is stupid, but... Some of y'all on y'all way doing it going, God, have mercy on me. I didn't say I ain't doing it, but just have mercy on me when I do, because I'm doing this. I'm going to go do this. And you're asking for mercy before you done did it. But see, you done did it in your heart. So it's already done in the eyes of God. You just repenting, but you have no desire to stop doing it. You're going to go do this. I'm doing it anyway. I'm going to do this. So God, you're going to have to forgive me. No, he ain't. He ain't forgiving that because that prayer isn't a faith. That's why he won't forgive you. Not because he's not merciful, because you don't mean it. That's why the sin will remain and you'll pay for it, which brings us to the third point, the price of sin. How many of y'all know sin is expensive? Amen. Sin is like a man without a job. Eating all your food. Grass is high. Oh, y'all don't like. I told you I was going someplace and I'm trying to help y'all. Sin's like a brother don't want to work. It ain't that he can't find a job, he won't. He won't. Your cousin hiring, he say, okay, I'll go check it out. And then he goes back and watch TV with a big old slice of pizza. Why do I have to work? You working. Kitchen full of dishes. Won't clean the house. Cable bill sky high. We don't know what he's doing during the day other than calling you, making sure you're at work. I think I got a witness here. Young lady sitting in my class, phone going off. I snatched it. Ding, 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 ding. And you know it's that rap. And I said, give me that phone. Who is this? Who this? I said, this is the teacher of the person you're trying to reach. Who's this? Well, this is the baby daddy of the woman who phoned you on. Don't you know she's in class? Yeah, just, you know, okay, whatever. You call and do my class. He ain't got nothing to do. 11 o'clock class, he just got out of bed. And the woman, she's so crazy, she paying the phone bill. Because she don't think nobody want her, but if she just follow my advice, she'll get a man, or a man will get her, if she just wait and trust. He's on the way. That ain't what you got. That's sin, y'all. Sin promises pleasure, and it's perverted, it is distorted, and the price of sin is death. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, some people think they're doing right, but in the end, it leads to death. James 1, 14 and 15 says, but people are tempted when their own evil desire leads them away and traps them. This desire leads to sin, and then sin grows and brings death. My friends, sin has consequences. There is no such thing as inconsequential sin, and we can put in there anything you want. We reap what we sow. And, oh no, I know people who get away with such and such. Honey, they will not get away. They will reap what they sow. Some time ago, about 10 years ago, a young lady, a beautiful young woman, just graduated from college, went to the island of Aruba by herself with friends. Ended up dead. They caught the guy, but could not prove that he did it. Found him in South America, in Peru, killed another woman. And then turns around and says, by the way, I can tell you where to find the remains of the one I killed 10 years ago. You go to Aruba, and when I say Aruba, I'm talking about places where you don't need to go. Sin will find you out and it will kill you if you keep living this sinful lifestyle. The life you want don't want you. Let me say it again. The life that you want don't want you. That's why Jesus says give it up. Not because he don't want you to have fun, but he knows that the path you are on will lead to your own destruction. He's not trying to keep you from having fun. He's trying to keep you alive. You want to act like the church and the Bible is like a noose around your neck. Honey, Jesus came that you might be free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus is not trying to play no game with you. He's not trying to make your life miserable and make you all in bondage. He's trying to set you free from the bondage of sin. Yeah, but I won't have any fun. Honey, you don't know what fun is until you find out who Jesus is. Fun is being free. That's what fun is. Romans 6:23, when people sin, they earn what sin pays, which is death. But God gives us a free gift, life forever, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Period. And I know that you're upset, those of you who have been dealing with sin, battling with sin, trying to overcome sin and finding it a struggle. I feel you, as the young people like to say. I understand where you're coming from, but I also want you to know that the God who loves you when you fall loves you just the same when you stand. Amen. You don't need to hold your head down at Blessed Hope Bible Church because ain't nobody beating on you. No one's trying to pick on you personally. That's why I said what I said before this portion of the sermon. I'm not here to point you out. I'm here to pick you up if you're going to reach for me. My hand is extended. Where's your hand at? That's what I'm saying to you today. You don't have to go home the same the way you came in. You don't have to do that, my friend. But I offer you no miracle cure. Joining Blessed Hope, raising your hand and giving your life to Jesus does not mean you will walk out those doors and never do wrong. What it means is that you will know that God has given you the power to live right. Amen. And now you got some weapons. Amen? Amen? Right now you got nothing. At least you got some tools to fight the battle. Say amen. Amen. How do we let go of sin and its devastating consequences to our relationships with God and with others? How do we let go of those things that offer so much and deliver so little? What is the process? There are 7 things you can do to let go of sin. 7 things you can do. Number 1, see sin for what it is. Amen? See sin for what it is. What do you mean, Pastor, what it is? It's not real. It's counterfeit. The joy is counterfeit. The peace is counterfeit. The pleasure is counterfeit. The power is counterfeit. All it is a copy of what God offers. See it for what it is. Number 2, if you are engaged in a particular sin, some of you need to do this, write down the sin. Write it down and then state how you feel when you do it. I ain't doing that. You'll never be free. Come on. See, some of this I'm taking off the streets. Man, I heard that in 12 step. I'm right there. I'm trying to help you. What do you do? I cuss. Okay, then say this. I curse too much. And this is how it makes me feel. I feel miserable. Write that down. Look at it. It's ugly, isn't it? And you say, well, why cursing? Because that's exactly what I did at the age of 16 when I cussed out everybody. I cussed way too much. We grew up in Wellston. If you didn't cuss, your name was cuss. This hip-hop stuff, they ain't got nothing on what we used to do. And I got some folk who knew me when. And I mean, I can go back too and talk about some words that I had no business saying. And I remember getting saved, and I remember crying, saying, I can't stop. I wrote it down. I'm sick of it. So I counted the number of times I cussed in a day. Started at 20. That was me. Now you feel better, don't you? Because the past is a mess. That's all right. I can tell my story. I have nothing to hide or prove to you. I know what sin can do. That's why I preach like I do. Against it. I said, okay, what are we going to do? Try to do 15. Read my Bible, pray. Knocked it down to 15. Feeling good. Still cussing. But feeling better. I'm trying to help y'all. Knock it down to 10. Third week, down to 10. A day. Messed up. See, I was an atheist. I would cuss God. I would cuss anything. You got to understand where I'm from. I remember telling one of my friends who didn't believe it, when he first met me, he says, you was an atheist? I was an atheist of the worst type. I'd spit at the church. And I did. I would walk by the church and spit on it. I hated God. Because there wasn't a God. So you got to understand my background. And I can tell you how old I was. I was 12 years old. I sat in front of a big old beautiful white church, didn't do nothing for me, and heaved as much spit as I could on it. That's what I think about you and God and church. I think that's why I'm preaching now. God has a sense of humor. God saw that and said, I'm gonna fix you. Okay, now how you feel about the church? I'm gonna fix you, all y'all young people. I ain't gonna be like him. I'll be doing the ordination in a few years. So down to 10. And now I'm just praising God. Still cussing, but praising God. Down to 5. And at that point, I'm just, hallelujah. I see the end of I could see the light. And at 5, I stopped counting. And I said, today is my day. That was my day, and I gave it up, and it gave me up. Stop cussing. Haven't cussed in 30 years. Haven't cussed nobody out. Make that 35 years. I forgot I was 50. Get it? I forgot I was 50. Okay, you. Some of y'all need to do that. See, you're wanting me to wave my hand over you and make it go away. There is no such plan. How many times do you get drunk? Man, like 4 times. Make it 3 next week. Pastor, this is what teaching has done to your mind. It has warped you into instant success. Christianity is not instant. It's a process. 3 times next week. How many times you getting high? Man, almost every day. Make it every other day. And then 2 days a week. Work it. You got to work this thing called Christianity. How many times are you in pornography and you're on that computer? How many times? Well, okay, less next week. Told you I was going there. And pray for strength and read the Bible every day. And when you get victory, stay humble. As soon as you know, when I stopped cussing, I didn't go, oh, look at me. I was like, man, I don't want to start that again. I don't want to start that again. I don't want to live that way. And I don't. I don't want to go back there. I don't want to be that person. And you know those things in your life. You don't like doing them, but you can't help yourself. Do I have at least one witness other than me? I know that because I am you. I'm giving you a plan that you work. Orval Miller, the founder of Black Alcohol Substance Abuse, said these words, and I'll never forget it. He says, when does an addict get tired of sin? When do they change and decide they're going to get help? And all of us raising our hands, including me, and he said, nope, 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 nope. He says, let me tell you, having had been an addict to crack cocaine and had been clean for, and is clean, has been clean for 30 years, crack cocaine. Let me tell you when you give up that crack, when the pleasure, when the pain outweighs the pleasure. Amen. One day you're going to look at that 40 or at that website or that club and you're going to say, I'm tired. It's going to happen because God has found you and he makes you tired. He makes you tired of sin. You go look at that Cavassier, that Mogan David. You're going to look at those things and you're going to say, I'm tired. Like me, you're going to stand at the top of the Brass Rail Club and say, I will never come back to a club the rest of my life. I'm tired of living like this. God has better things for me. I don't need to live like this no more. I can walk away from this. But as long as you're playing, you're going to get your head slapped. Because that's all sin is going to do. That's why you have a hangover. That's just like sin. It's going to cost you something. Some of you won't survive it. It will kill you. It's going to kill you. It's going to kill you in the prime of your life since you decide to play and think that church ain't nothing. But Jesus said, let it go. And this is how you let it go. You got to see it for what it is. It's a death sentence. You got to understand if it's a particular sin and it's messing with you, it keeps you restless. Write this thing down. What is your problem? In writing, look at it and see how ugly it is. And then set goals to deal with it. There's one other point. I didn't give them all, but here's another point. You'll see this on the website. Find out what your triggers are. Know what your triggers are. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about when I say trigger? Does anger make you eat too much when your doctor say you need to cut back? Y'all listen, and I'm just using it as a very common, innocent thing for myself personally, especially when you're angry, what do? Man, I eat. But some do something else. They drink, they smoke, sometimes something other than cigarettes. They do this, that, and this, and that because there are triggers. What triggers you? Okay, when you get angry and you find yourself doing this, what caused the anger? Oh, well, it's this. Oh, stay away from that. Stay away from that. Well, man, you got to understand, she gets on my nerves. Dump her. You mean my mother-in-law? Oh, well, okay, let's put it. My kids? Okay. I was speaking in terms of a relationship in which there was no marriage. For the rest of us, you just got to pray. But let me give you a case in point. Let me tell you another way to deal with it. If you're married to somebody, and let's just say I'm married to Ronald here, and don't get too many ideas of that. Ronald's just a person. But he's sitting here, and so he's the one who I pick on. So Ronald is here. If Ronald gets on my nerves, do you know how to get him off your nerves? Can I tell you? Hey, Ronald, you get on my nerves. I don't want you to get on my nerves anymore. I need you to do me a favor. Stop doing this. What is it? You belch too loud when we're at home watching or when we're watching the movies. No, you. But in a marriage, I can talk to married people and they'll say, I know, Pastor. I know. I want to say that to my husband. Tell him. You leave one sock in the hamper and one sock out. It gets on your nerves. You start eating. Oh, y'all not listening. Well, honey, by the way, since we're talking about nerves, do I get a turn? Okay. I don't like it when you watch TV in that room and I'm in the other room. That gets on my nerves. That gets on my nerves. Amen.
Amen.
See, it's quiet. You know why? Because I'm hitting on a target. And we can go on and on. That's how you flesh things out. Psychologists call it self-disclosure. You know what James calls it? Confess your faults one to another. Let the Lord heal you. Be honest with each other. Now, I don't have to be rude when I break it down to him. I can be loving and say, Ronald, we got a problem, but I think we can solve it. That's how you do it. And you know what happens? The healing begins. If you're willing to be honest with each other. And now that person is not the trigger, which causes you to eat too much, which leads to diabetes and high blood pressure and stroke. See it? But you have a part to play. There was a sister in our Bible study who said, where's the accountability for the Christian? You got a part. Don't be just shouting and expecting God to come home and your husband's perfect. It's not going to happen. You got to work on him. And he has to work on you. And y'all work on each other. And God works in the mess to create a marriage. All of us get on somebody's nerves. All of us have triggers, things that cause us to lose it. Amen?
Amen.
It's an ex for some of us. Ex-girlfriend, ex-situation. Amen.
Amen.
It's a moocher. Some of us got a moocher. You say, what you mean a moocher? Somebody who knows you as cuz. And need something until they get paid. And they don't have a job. How many of y'all got a moocher? You've had a moocher at one time. Fire the moocher. I had a moocher call me at 1 a.m. saying, brother, my cuz, I love you. I said, I know you do. He says, how would you like to save somebody tonight?
It was not me.
He called me. He say, my cuz right here. We go back. But in truth, we go back 25 years, and that's why I could pick on him. We do go back 25 years. And he calls me, cuz. And I'll be cuz, and you be me. Okay. That way it takes the edge off. How would you like to save somebody tonight? Because I need salvation.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, let me pray with you. He says, well, actually, cuz, are you listening? Cuz, are you listening, cuz? Can I call you cuz?
Yeah.
Me and my girl need a place to stay, and we had a hotel. Can you just come over and just pay for the night and get us through the night? Real story. True story. True story. We're fornicating. Would you subsidize it? Needless to say, I ate too much that night. I might have had a pizza or something. I don't know. Maybe I went out and got in my car and got some White Castles. I had a trigger that night. Listen to me. Now somebody going to get White Castles after church. That's what that was. Somebody going to get White Castles right after church. That's exactly what just happened. I put that in their spirit. You see that? Now that demon of White Castle done got me and they can't let go. Get me some too? No. What did we learn today? We learned that we all got a problem called sin. But we also learned that we can, through practice of godly discipline, we can let this thing go. I want to be careful with you and very, very sincere and tell you, you will die fighting, but you don't have to die losing. Amen. And that's the difference. Yes. Yes. Bow your heads right now, everyone in the building. And all I'm going to ask you to do is something simple, and it has nothing to do with joining Blessed Hope Bible Church. In fact, many of you already know, we do not give invitations for membership. Members come to us and say, I want to join, and we take it from there. That's not the kind of church we are. Let me tell you what we're going to do, however. We're going to help you get right with God, because that's what matters, and nothing else does, frankly. Not right now. Nothing else matters. Listen carefully. If I asked you to raise your hand if you want change, all of you would raise your hand. There's no doubt about that. But just like sin has a price, change has a price. Freedom has a price. The price of sin is death. The price of freedom is faith. Faith in Jesus Christ and obedience to his word. And if you're ready to make that decision to commit yourself to obey him and him alone, I just need you to raise your hand. Everyone in the building who says, yes, I'm ready to make that commitment. I see you. 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 And I don't care if you're a member of Blessed Hope or not. Don't wait for the visitors to raise their hand. I'm talking to struggling Christians, struggling sinners, people who need to make a change. And if they don't get that change soon, they're going to lose their mind. I need some folk like that. Folk, I see you, dear. I see you. Folk who can say those words, I'm desperate for you. We need you to be desperate for the Lord, not cool, casual. It ain't cool or casual. I need a Savior, and I need him today. Well, you're going to get him today. When I finish praying with you and you're praying, right now you'll never be the same. I promise. If you do what I ask you to do, and I'm only asking you to do what the Bible is asking, if you put your trust in the Word, all of you, not just one or two, if all every last one of you, you will never be the same. I promise you that. Not just from the Bible, but from having walked this thing. I own the t-shirt company that makes these shirts. You will never be the same. I know you can change. Pastor, I've been this way for 25 years. Let me say this to you, and I don't care. Today you will change. The process of letting go, the process of your freedom begins right now. Who's with me? I'm going to raise my hand. I want the Lord to make me better. How many of you want him to make you better? You want him to change you right now. I want you to pray with me. When I pray, you repeat after me if you mean it from your heart. Lord Jesus, I need you to come into my heart. Wash away my sins. I want to be free of my sin and of myself. Help me to live right. Help me to obey the word of God. Help me to trust you in every situation. When I struggle, give me strength. When I fall, help me to reach up to you and find mercy. Lord, I love you. I need you. Come into my heart. Save me. Change me. Transform me. Renew me. In Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Give them a hand praise right now.